So as we've already said, we're starting a new series today looking at the character of Jesus. It's going to take us through to the end of July. And we're going to be looking at not just at different aspects of Jesus' character, but we're going to be doing it in different ways as well. So we're going to be looking into Jesus through the Gospels, and different accounts and stories, as Rachel sort of shared with us, from Scripture and from the Gospels. And our hope as we do that is really three things. Firstly, it's that as we spend time looking at Jesus, that we will love him more as a result of spending time understanding him and looking at his character. Secondly, that will lead us to deeper worship on Sundays, but more, certainly more than that with our whole lives. And then thirdly, as we learn to love and worship Jesus more and understand more of his character, that the Spirit will work in our lives so that our character will become more like his character. Paul speaks in Philippians, some verses we'll be familiar with. He says, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same attitude of mind that Christ Jesus had. So that's what we're aiming for, to have the same attitude, the same characteristics as Christ, which is no small feat, but by the Spirit's power, as we look at Jesus, we will, we pray, become closer to his likeness. The Apostle John, who describes himself as the one whom Jesus loved, says something similar in 1 John chapter 2, verse 6. He says, whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. So that's our bold ambition, our prayer for the coming months as we look at Jesus. Let's just pray before we dive into the first of these characteristics that we're going to look at this morning of Jesus' compassion. Then let's just pray. Lord Jesus, thank you that we can see you through the Gospels. Lord, we pray that you will send your Spirit this morning and in these coming months, that we might increasingly love you, worship you more deeply, and that we might become like you, Jesus. Amen. So this morning we're going to start off by looking at Jesus' compassion. I need to turn this on so I can click. Jesus is compassionate. And I'm going to read some verses from Matthew chapter 9, just two verses, verses 35 and 36. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, speaking in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and illness. And when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. The Gospels give us windows into Jesus' life, hence the window there, and his character. And so this morning we're going to look through sort of five of those windows at Jesus' compassion. But first let's look at what compassion actually is. The word compassion in the New Testament is this word very often, which I'm assured you're not going to know any different except for those of you Greek scholars, but it's pronounced something like splagnizomai. I'm looking at Chris to see whether you're more Hebrew than Greek, aren't you, Chris? So you can't correct me either, so I can get away with that. Splagnizomai. It's the word that is often used for compassion in the New Testament. And this isn't just compassion where we intellectually assent to seeing a problem and feel sorry for someone. It's not even compassion in our heart where we feel moved and a bit churned up and our heart goes out to them. It's more than that. It's this, the sense of this word is compassion that is deep down in our guts. It's something, yeah, in our guts, even in our bowels, that is so deep within that, you know, we are moved, we are stopped in our tracks, to the point where we have no choice but to act. I wonder if you can remember the last time that you felt that sort of gut-wrenching compassion for a person or for a situation. As some of you know, we were away last week, and one of the things we did is went and listened to a Christian charity called Compassion. And they were sharing about the difference that could be made through local churches in the poorest countries of the world, getting alongside children and supporting them through their education, through their well-being, giving them a safe place. And the difference that made to lives that were in the bleakest possible situations, and the turnaround that that has achieved in individuals over 10, 20 years to the point of adulthood. And I think as a family, we felt some of this gut-wrenching compassion as we heard those stories. And we're asking ourselves the question, okay, what part do we play in responding? I'm sure we can all think of times in our own lives where we've had a similar sense of compassion that isn't just in our heads. It's not just a feeling. It's in our guts, and it's something we've got to do something about. So let's look at briefly at these five windows on Jesus' compassion. And the first is the verses that I just read for us that are on the screen. When Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion, the sort of compassion I've just been talking about, compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Put yourself in the scene as Jesus travels around the towns and villages. The people he met were under brutal Roman occupation. Many of them would probably have lost hope in God's ancient promises. A lot of them, it would have been a struggle just to survive, let alone have purpose and direction in their lives. They were harassed and helpless. They needed good leadership. But time and again, the human leaders had let them down. Jesus sees them and is moved in his guts for them. You can see it in his face. You can see it in his need to act. And so he goes on to firstly tell his followers to pray, but then he sends them out themselves to do something about it. And in many ways our context is very different, but humanity is the same. We too often struggle for direction. We live in a culture that increasingly rejects Jesus and rejects those who follow him. Yet we also live in a culture that yearns for purpose, for knowing what to do, for having someone to follow. Or sometimes we know what to do, but we don't have the ability to do it. So Jesus likewise looks on us and has compassion, because he can see that we too and our society are like sheep without a shepherd. So that's window one. Jesus has compassion for the leaderless. Window two, going to Mark's Gospel. And another perhaps familiar story as Jesus feeds 4,000 people. A large crowd had gathered, and since they had nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I have compassion, it's that word again, I have compassion on these people. They've already been with me for 3 days and have nothing to eat. If I send them home hungry, they will collapse on the way because some of them have come a long distance. Jesus sees a critical physical need in front of him. 4,000 people who are starving hungry after 3 days with no food. Some of us have been fasting a bit recently, but I don't know if any of us have done 3 days, but they must have been absolutely famished. He sees the implications for them, and once again he's moved. If he sends them away, some of them will collapse and maybe even die as a result before they get to the end of their journey home. Some of us will have significant physical needs in our lives. You know, we know many in our society have this same critical need for food and they cannot afford to buy it. But for others of us, it might be a need for somewhere that truly feels like home. It might be for deep friendship. It might be for provision of material needs in the longer term, not just food on the table today, but what does the future hold? All sorts of other genuine physical needs. And Jesus sees, and Jesus is moved to action. So that's window two. Jesus has compassion for physical needs. Thirdly, ill health. And Jesus sees these two blind men. Jesus had compassion on them. And he touched their eyes and immediately they received their sight and followed him. We see this constantly throughout the Gospels. Jesus sees people suffering, whether it's physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally. And he has this same deep compassion. He's moved in his guts. He goes out of his way to meet each person. He interrupts his schedule for them. Of course, Scripture is honest enough to show that physical healing in this life isn't always the outcome. Although, you know, we know it can be. We've seen that as a church recently. But more than anything, Jesus comes to bring his shalom, his peace, his wholeness into the pain of our lives, into the physical, emotional, mental torment. Yes, he heals, but he's interested in health in that fullest sense of wholeness with him. He doesn't look away when he sees suffering. He doesn't walk on by. He meets people in their anguish. He meets us in our anguish, and he offers us wholeness, both now and the promise of it fully in eternity. Window three, compassion for ill health. Window four. This one's a little bit different. Jesus has compassion to gather people to himself. Jesus here is, in Luke's Gospel, in chapter 13, is weeping over Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those who sent you. How often I have longed to gather your children together, as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing. Jesus looks on these leaderless people and he longs for them to be gathered together under his lordship. If only they would recognise him and accept his offer of grace. If only they would truly accept each other as the people of God. Sometimes for all sorts of internal or external reasons, we can be isolated from Jesus. Or at least feel that way, and from other people. Whether that's physically isolated or relationally isolated, Jesus sees and he longs to restore, to gather us together under his wings. Window four, compassion for his people. And then finally, window five. Jesus has compassion when things get in the way between a person and Jesus. The story of the rich young man that comes to Jesus and asks what he should do to inherit eternal life in Mark 10. But I want to pick out these words that I've highlighted on the screen. As Jesus has this conversation, we get this short phrase, Jesus looked at him and loved him. See, I can look at this story and feel critical. Critical of the man who let his riches get between him and Jesus. But actually also critical of myself, because I see that same attitude in me. But notice Jesus' response. He looked at the man and loved him. He had compassion on him. There's all sorts of things that can get between us and Jesus. Often they're material things like this, but they can also be unforgiveness, unanswered prayer, a need for us to be in control, some other form of disappointment. Jesus looks at us and loves us. It's a powerful love. It's a love that changes things, a love that can give us the strength to deal with those obstacles, even when they are mountains before us. Window 5, compassion for things that get in the way. So to pull all that together, there are 5 ways, and they're just examples, there are others, but 5 ways in which Jesus shows that gut-wrenching, action-driving compassion when we're leaderless, when we have deep physical needs, when we have ill health, when we need to be gathered to him and to his people, when there is something blocking and getting in the way of our relationship with him. So what do we do with this? I wonder which one of those windows has resonated most with you. Where do you need to experience Jesus' compassion in your life? Yeah, for me, I think it's the first one. I think I need Jesus' compassion as a shepherd. Yeah, maybe it's because I'm sort of in my mid-40s and I'm thinking about what the sort of next 20-odd years of working life holds for me. But I'm asking at the moment, what am I meant to be doing? How am I meant to approach my work in a way that honours God? How do I be Jesus in my workplace? I don't want to keep working to the day I retire and wonder what it was all about. I want to be in my workplace in a way that makes a difference for eternity, not just for now. I've been reminded recently of the importance of that. And so I need Jesus' compassion and shepherding to do that well, especially when the workplace sometimes feels devoid of effective leadership. So that's me. I'm going to ask Howard just to play in the background for us now as we just reflect a little bit on this before we close. Give us some few moments just to come quietly before Jesus and to know his compassion for each of us individually. As Jesus looks at you, where does he have compassion? Where is he moved in his guts for you? Just close your eyes or do whatever's helpful just to spend some time talking with him quietly. Maybe it's the need for a good shepherd. Maybe it's a physical or material need that you're facing right now. It could be physical or mental health for you or for someone close to you. Perhaps it is to be gathered into a deep relationship with God's people and with Jesus himself. Or maybe it is like that rich young man. There's something getting in the way between you and Jesus. Whether that be material possessions or unforgiveness or disappointment or something else. And Jesus looks at you and loves you. What is Jesus weeping over with you? Just as the Howard continues to play, just let Jesus quietly in and allow him to start to meet you in that place and begin his mighty transforming work. Oh, thank you, Jesus, that you meet us with love. You look at us and love us. You have compassion for us. You're the one that's able to change situations, move mountains. This compassion isn't just for us, though. It's particularly for those on the outside. As Jesus looks at our community, our nation, our world, where does he have compassion? What does he see that he longs to change? We are to be imitators of Jesus, to have his character, to have his heart of compassion, to have his guts of compassion. So just take a few more moments now to invite Jesus to break your heart for the things that break his. What will it mean for you, for us, to go with that sort of compassion in Jesus' name to the people, the places, and the situations? Jesus, will you come into those situations and will you shape our character so that you might even use us as you use those first followers to go out in your name and to be your compassion to the world around us. That people might know you and experience that depth of love and transformation that you offer. Amen. Thank you, Howard.